Besides being a night to be much remembered, yesterday was also Schubert's Day. Schubert's Day commemorates all those unfinished things like symphonies, sermonettes and sermons. So today I'd like to begin by asking you a question. Have you ever completely de-leavened your home only to find an offending crust or something of that nature during the days of unleavened bread? Well, something akin to this happened to my wife and I, except that the offending leaven was not discovered for several years. Do I detect notes of incredulity and that sort of thing? Well, what I've just said must sound a little strange, or even somewhat unbelievable. Years after the de-leavening had been completed, the hidden leaven in the house for a number of years, missed during the process of de-leavening the home year after year after year. Now, what I'm going to relate will show just how deep-seated some of the problems that we have to deal with in de-leavening the home, and more importantly, in de-leavening our lives. This will, I hope, help us all to realise just how deep-seated leaven or sin can be in our lives. Realising this is vitally important, not only during these days which we have now entered, but during life that we are now trying to lead. As Mr. Armstrong said in the message broadcast last Sabbath, we need to be completely converted. It is not sufficient just to be baptised. We need to be genuinely begin to follow a totally new way of life, a style which will give us a completely different outlook. Led by the Spirit of God, and to walk the walk that Jesus Christ walked before us as an example that we must try to follow. Leaven, which pictures in a physical way sin, has to be rooted out so completely that we'll never ever want to go back to it in any form, any way at all in our way of life. So now then, what was it that eluded my wife and I for so long whilst we were de-leavening our home and only recently discovered? So, we need to go back a number of years, to a time when we were given a number of kitchen implements. Now, these were basically food processors and blenders, and they were electrically powered, and the motors, you know, were all sort of connected up to various parts of these implements that we were given. Now, one of these particular items was a motor which you could fit whisks or dough hooks into. And you, in addition to that, you could lay it on top of another implement which would drive a little implement which would cut up vegetables, that sort of thing. Now, shortly after moving into our new home, we discovered that our newest food blender had somehow become broken. So we went around to see what we'd brought with us, and we discovered this box of electrical implements that was given to us some years before. So there were three electrical items there, and I plugged each one into a socket, tried it, and two of them worked, one of them didn't, so that was discarded. And my wife discovered that, you know, these things were really quite messy, dirty. So she began cleaning them up. And one of them had little slits in the side, and she began with a knife to sort of inch into the little holes at the side of this thing with the tip of the knife going in. I became somewhat concerned because we tried it out and it worked. And I didn't want the knife to go into the coils of the electric motor so that, you know, it would be then ruined. So I said, you know, come on, I'll take over from here. So, well, you tend to, you know. Anyway, we found this thing worked, and I took the casing apart just a little bit, and lo and behold, what should fall out? Leavened gunge. Well, I assume it was 11 gunge. I mean, it looked like old cake mix. So anyway, we got this thing apart and cleaned it out as best we could. And on the worktop, we must have had something like a quarter of a cup of this cake mix. Years old, probably 11 cake mix. I mean, you don't make cakes without 11, do you? Anyway, we got this old cake mix out, and about half an hour later, probing the depths of this case, we managed to get the thing back together, plugged it in with a little drop of trepidation in case it didn't work anymore, but it still worked. Anyway, I'd like you to turn with me now to Exodus chapter 12 and verse 15. I mean, it just, this sort of thing just shows how deeply leaven can be embedded, not only into implements, but into our lives. So here in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 15, it's a verse we find that leaven has to be removed from our homes, a task which we all undertake from time to time before the first day of unleavened bread. We meticulously scour every cupboard, every crook and nanny looking for offending leaven, rooting out every last vestige of yeast, bicarb of soda and other agents to raise flour and that sort of thing. So in Exodus chapter 12, reading verse 15, we read the following. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses, for whosoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. So here we find a command that we must root out and put out leaven and leaven products used for the process of leavening bread and pastries out of our homes. This is not a matter of choice, but a matter of obedience to the word of God. There are those who will say that the days of unleavened bread are the result of Old Testament ordinances, but those that make this claim fail to show that Jesus also kept these days, as did the New Testament church. Now we can find examples of this in the Gospel accounts and also in the Book of Acts and the writings of the Apostle Paul. The problem with leaven, yeast and similar leavening products, is that they spread. Just as our natural human feelings and attitudes spread. I've never been in a rally or a riot, but it is widely reported that once you get into this sort of situation, a spirit seems to spread around everyone who takes part. It is a spirit that spreads spontaneously throughout the gathering, and it takes control of those who are in that sort of situation. Now, when God's people gather together at a feast, there is a completely different spirit. An example of this is found in the first epistle of the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth, and beginning in chapter 5, verse 6. Here, Paul makes a comparison between the way of this world and the manner in which we should conduct ourselves. Whilst this is not in the exact context to which this passage was written, it does bear out the point that I wish to make here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 6, we read the following. Beginning in verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Once more we are commanded to purge out the old leaven and be unleavened. But now, physically unleavened and spiritually unleavened. We have to change, as Mr. Armstrong said in the sermon played last Sabbath. We have to be fully converted. We have to desire to be free of the thoughts and attitudes that lead to sin and that lead to transgression of God's laws. As with the case of the electric handheld whisk that my wife and I cleaned up a month or so ago, leaven can find its way into the deepest crevices and recesses of even a small machine such as a handheld whisk. Similarly, sin and the attitudes that lead us to sin can find our ways into the deepest and most innermost parts of our lives. And we have to put it out. We have to practice purging ourselves of leaven for all our life long. It is a way of life that has to be led by us. It is a way of being. It is a process of coming out of this world, forsaking the ways of this world, and embracing the ways of God, a God in heaven who is our Father in heaven. In this sermon about the Passover examination, Mr. Armstrong referred to the Epistle of Paul to the church in Rome, and specifically to chapter 8 and verse 14, to which we will now turn. Here we find that if we are not truly converted, we will be led by a different spirit. It is a time of year we obey the command to put yeast and all forms of leaven out of our houses. We try to submit to God in every aspect of life. Maybe we do not do this perfectly, as we discovered in our home. But God is merciful, and he looks upon the heart, and if we are converted, we will be doing our utmost to be led by God's Holy Spirit, which is given to those whose life goal is to submit to God in everything. And here in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, we read, Romans 8, verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." This is our aim, to put sin out of our lives. During these days of unleavened bread, we put all forms of leavening out of our houses. We recognise that leaven is a representative of sin. And as I've discovered, leaven can get into the most inaccessible places. The same is true of the sin which so easily besets us. Sin can hide in the deepest recesses of our being. Please do not think that I'm advocating the dismantling of every single electrical implement that we have. I'm not. But we do our best to get every vestige of leaven out of our houses. Having done our best, following the instructions that we've been given, we do our utmost to combat the thoughts and attitudes that lead us into sin. Guided by God's Holy Spirit, we do this, and we do it to the best of our ability. Then, if we willingly submit to our Heavenly Father, our past sins are wiped away from memory, and led by his Holy Spirit, we become his begotten, but not yet born, children of God. And so we do our best in these days, or prior to these days, put sin away from our lives and to lead a completely new way of life.